Hi.
Welcome back to another mini episode of Old Millennials, a deep dive on shallow topics, although today is more of a dip in a shallow pool. I am one of your hosts, Margot Poupard.
And I'm your other host, Emily Bijan.
And today for our mini episode, I thought we'd play a little game that I came up with. And it's not so much a game because I'm not very good at game creation. And I also, a friend of mine the other day was like, hey, do you want to play like Pictionary on Zoom? I'm like, that sounds like my fucking worst nightmare. Absolutely not. So I'm not like a big on game thing, but something that I'd noticed over the last year, because Emily and I have been recording this podcast for a whole year, hold for applause. Mm-mm. Okay, great. Is that frequently before, during, and after recording, or just typically hanging out, we'll remember something from our childhood and be like, hey, remember, insert whatever the fuck here. And so I thought it'd be really fun if one of us picks a topic that the other person doesn't know that we're picking, and then we just sort of like riff on it for a couple of minutes because we do tend to go kind of long. And so at least if we're just like riffing on a topic, can kind of keep it kind of short, maybe dig up some fun old memories, and then call it a day. So since this was my idea, poor Emily has to be my guinea pig. So much like all of the other games I've ever created with this, for this podcast, let's hope it doesn't immediately blow up in my face. So I went easy. So it might not be, I know that you remember this, but it might not be that complicated, but let's get to it. Everybody clear on the rules, aka you, Emily, who I've previously discussed this with?
I hope so at this point.
Have I over-explained things now?
No, in these times, in these dark times, Jesus, I like, you know, my brain is all over the place, but yeah, I'm sure I hope that I at least have been able to understand how this game will go.
Okay. So today I ask you, Emily, do you remember Napster?
Of course.
And LimeWire, let's talk about illegal downloading services. So the reason why I'm inspired by this illegal downloading is like, I feel, you know, obviously you shouldn't pirate stuff. It's right. Bad to not give creators money, etc.
No, understand.
But I've done it less and less as time has gone on. And also how, you know, now things are like a lot easier to stream on Spotify and whatever, wherever you get your music
for
and
sure.
Podcasts and movies. But back when Napster and LimeWire first launched, it's sort of like when we went through all of those old CDs from Sean's center console. There are just like some songs that you downloaded that you'll never forget. The mix CDs that you made. Those things are just sort of, you just can't get that same thrill. And to be completely honest, I don't even know how to illegally download things that well. Proof in point, we have a standing bad movie night with a group of friends that we watch on Zoom, and we couldn't find Crossroads anywhere. It wasn't streaming. We couldn't figure out why it wasn't streaming anywhere. Crossroads with Britney Spears, obviously.
Yes.
And a friend of ours, their brother, he kind of surfs the dark web. So he was able to find it and illegally download it and then upload it onto Vimeo. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do to watch your classics.
We're a scrappy bunch. A scrappy bunch.
Exactly. But I felt like the thrill of finding it and then downloading it and then like, how are we all going to share it amongst ourselves? Had a real like Napster LimeWire vibe. And so, you know, I just wanted to hear your memories, your memes.
My memes. About memories.
Your greatest Napster and then LimeWire. Because there was a point where Napster stopped working after they kept getting busted and then everybody moved over. Because for me, it went from Napster to LimeWire to Pirate Bay. And Pirate Bay was like where I got off on the roller coaster.
So for me, really very little time on Napster. Mostly for me, it was the first foray was actually in between Napster and LimeWire. It was Kazaa, which was spelled K-A-Z-A-A. Yeah. I don't know if it was Kazaa or Kazaa, but anyway, I did a little bit on Napster. I don't remember what I first downloaded on that, but I do remember with Kazaa, like I downloaded a bunch of Blink-182 and maybe like Sum 41 and Simple Plan. And I know that's very sad, but I was in seventh grade and like I was very into pop punk. Like that was my thing. So that's really the first thing I remember on Kazaa and maybe a little bit on Napster. What was the first thing you downloaded on Napster?
I don't really remember, but I remember with the very first thing. I don't remember what that is, but I do remember being on the hunt in middle school at some point for like the Japanese version of Pinkerton from Weezer because there were like bonus tracks on it or something.
Yeah.
And we had talked about this the other night, how everybody has like a white whale song that they were trying to search
for. I had some white whale tied to Weezer too.
What are yours?
Well, the white whale for me, and this is more LimeWire with Weezer. I think we talked about like Rivers Cuomo's side project, Comey, which is members of Weezer and Cake. And it was like he had recorded a few of these tracks while he was at Harvard, potentially. I think the only one that was ever made like publicly available on a CD was on like the Meet the Deedles soundtrack, which if any of you remember this movie starring the late Paul Walker in a pre- She's All That pre Fast Furious everything.
Was it
as a surfer?
Was it post Tammy and the T-Rex?
I think so. It's post Tammy and the T-Rex, pre She's All That. And he and like this other guy who never became very famous were brothers, surfer brothers, who are sent to become park rangers for a summer. I don't know why, but the soundtrack was certainly more memorable than the movie. And the soundtrack included a song by Homie called American Girls. But I remember scouring the illegal downloading services looking for other tracks, bootlegs by Homie. Like, and usually they were just kind of live songs that Rivers Cuomo would play at like clubs in Boston during that time. What about you?
I think one of my favorite things that I downloaded was obviously a time when prank calling was good. So we had downloaded a soundboard of Jack Black doing like saying shit intonation, like from Tenacious D. So my favorite one that me and my friend Bree used all the time was him saying cock push-ups. And we call like some of our dude friends who like really did not fucking appreciate it. Like we got away with it like maybe once or twice. At a certain point, we did it to one of our mutual friends, Josh. We called him. We were I don't even know what we were doing. Just like high off your own supply, like just having like so much unbridled energy. But we like called him, and so we started hitting the like soundboard or whatever. He's like, "What do you want?" He's like, "What do you want?" And we were just like, "Cock push." He's like, "What?" He's like. And then we hit the other side. I was like, push-ups you do with your cock. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, why are you doing this to me? And finally, he got hip to the game eventually. He was like, you guys are fucking crazy. Like, stop calling. That was one of my favorite things. But I just remember me and my friend Marianne downloaded, like, so much, like, juvenile and, like, raunchy fucking rap. Because so we were very into, like, punk music and like nu metal and like like we don't care about rap, so we had to obviously illegally download like Ludacris Move Bitch or whatever so that we could maintain our cool cred next time we went to like the Warehouse or Penny Lane or whatever. So we downloaded a lot of rap, but I think my favorite discovery that sort of like led to some bands that I really loved was that somebody somewhere along the way gave me like a burned mix CD that had a bunch of Sleater-Kinney and Bikini Kill and Heavens to Betsy and Bratmobile and what is there? I'm blanking on their name, but
La Tigra?
Not La Tigra. That was also a separate CD. And it was Veruca Salt was on there too. Op Ivy was on there. And it's like, oh God, their song is Cannonball. It has that chick from the Pixies.
Oh, the Breeders.
I could picture the album cover, but I could not think of words.
It's the Deal Sisters. Yeah.
Thank you. So that kind of turned me on to Bikini Kill and La Tigra and Men, which was like a later like JD Samson offshoot.
That Joanna Fouts and JD Samson did together. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Joanna Fouts. I downloaded a lot of like my weirdest shit from LimeWire, like experimental stuff. Like I downloaded a bunch of Bjork and a bunch of Joanna Newsom, like people that I didn't like, artists that I wasn't quite sure about. So I didn't want to commit out loud to them. So I would like, and that's what I loved about it.
You bring up a great point, though, that for me, honestly, you know, there are plenty of people out there who downloaded a lot of stuff illegally and continue to do so today. But at the time, I was downloading illegally just because I didn't have the money and means to be able to explore these other this other music. And quite frankly, later, though, I became a huge patron of music and I pay for local music. I pay for albums. You know, I've paid for vinyl. Like, it's I think it was if it did its job right, I think that a lot of these illegal download sites for people who, you know, later would have the means to buy this music, this was a great way for them to kind of get into that music. For it's funny you bring up like Bratmobile and Bikini Kill and Sleater-Kinney. I too remember downloading songs by Sleater-Kinney because I had gone on a family trip to Seattle in high school and for vacation and learned about Sleater-Kinney that way. And that was how I learned, like got to download their music and listen to them. Was I didn't have an album, but I started out by just downloading a few songs and really loved them. So later I was able to spend the money to buy records, spend the money to get concert tickets. Like I do think that there are artists who have said this in the past in interviews, like definitely a few emo musicians. I remember an interview saying like, you know what? Back then, it sucked not getting paid necessarily, but this was how people got to know who we were, was illegally downloading these songs. So then they would pay money to see our shows and later buy our albums.
Yeah, I would say that for every band that I illegally downloaded, I definitely went to go see their show. Like Hot Hot Heat is like a good example for me.
Oh, for sure.
I downloaded a bunch of their music and then ended up seeing them live. But what I think they did, the best thing that came about because of Napster and LimeWire and illegal downloading are breaking of the record industry. And so now you can buy things that are just a single. You can just get a single song that you like. You don't have to buy the whole fucking album. And that in turn led to streaming services. And that's having things more readily available and for different price points have completely changed things and also make it easier for artists to get paid, but also have cut down on people's need or ability to illegally download something. I mean, I think that, you know, if I learned anything from illegally downloading Luther off of Pirate Bay a couple of years ago because it was difficult to find at the time, or like maybe it was longer than that. But anyway, they kept getting busted anyway by the FBI. It's like that FBI warning that comes up before you watch an old VHS tape was happening still. So, you know, people are on it. But I think that it's changed the industry kind of for the better and has made a lot of weirdo kids from the suburbs who don't have any money more open their minds more to like different kinds of music because it was easier to experiment with different stuff because there you don't have to commit to a whole CD. You don't have to commit any amount of money and you could just listen to something and not like it and delete it and move on. I have a whole external hard drive of old illegally downloaded songs.
So it's funny you bring up those hard drives. So I, maybe a year or two ago, there's a really interesting article published on this like lost generation of music from the 2000s. And it was like, these bands between the years of like 2003 to 2008, which became famous because they had that one single, free single on iTunes for the week, or they got a little press. So there are a lot of bands during that time. You bring up Hot Hot Heat. I think this specifically Hot Hot Heat and a couple of other bands like that were brought up in this article where they, you know, back in their heyday, they had a few hit songs. Everyone had them on their, you know, LimeWire and later iTunes if you paid for a single or two. But over time, they've kind of been lost. Like there are these bands that maybe had a few songs that were big, but you don't really hear them anymore, you know, 15 years later, whereas there are, you know, musicians that became famous around the same time that did, you know, continue to stay big and relevant that are still a part of people's music collections and all that. And people have gotten rid of their hard drives. People abandoned iTunes just because iTunes doesn't really exist anymore. And it's now Apple Music where it's all streaming. And so my entire music hard drive lives, you know, somewhere on a old MacBook that I had, you know, maybe almost 15 years ago in my bedroom in my parents' house. But I haven't bothered to like dust it up and like, you know, do the download to like get everything back because I can just stream things when I want to hear them at this point. It just doesn't make sense. But I will send you this article because it was fascinating and I had never thought of it that way.
Oh, yes. Well, I feel like that's a pretty good chat. Yeah. We talked about 15 minutes about illegal downloading and old illegal downloading platforms.
Yeah. What a time.
Oh, I will say that one of my favorite downloads that I probably wouldn't have been able to find on my own, especially since they were still not a big band at the time, was the first Yeah Yeah Yeahs album that had Art Star and stuff on it. That was not easy to find growing up. And that was easy, obviously, to find. Like, you couldn't find it in person because I'd heard the whole album through, like, a friend of a friend who knew someone in New York kind of thing. And it was like, it was 2002 or three. So they were just starting out. And then you couldn't find it to buy, even if you wanted to, anywhere, because they were on a record label that didn't have big distribution. And so the first Yeah Yeah Yeahs album, it was definitely an illegal download.
Yeah.
I've been going back and re-listening to some old, like, high school tunes because something about lockdown makes you regress a little bit. So,
oh, for sure. The nostalgia factor is there. I definitely have listened to our emo playlist from a few episodes or seasons ago. It's very nice. It's like a warm emotional hug. That sounded really creepy.
We still need to do a follow up to that too.
We have so much research.
Maybe we could do emo bands that were really popular on LimeWire but not in mainstream, because there are a ton of those too.
Great topic. So many that, like, we probably forgot to put on our playlist. And when we do this, like we'll start remembering these, we'll probably add a third more songs to that playlist.
Well, that's the positive of our ongoing Spotify playlist. We actually have a couple playlists, and you can find out about them through our Instagram, and you can keep up with all sorts of updates that we have going on, because in addition to our little minis that we're going to be sprinkling throughout summer until we start a new season at some point in the fall, date TBD, the best way to keep up with us is on the Instagram, and you can follow us at The Old Millennials Pod. Up on our Medium blog page, Emily has written an in-depth investigative article about Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit. If you want to check that out, we are at Old Millennials Pod there.
Please read it.
And we'll be having some more soundtrack appreciation posts coming up in the future if you're interested in that. Sorry, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I did a lot of research for that Limp Bizkit post. Please read it. Please, please, please make sure that my research was not done in vain.
You can also follow us individually on Twitter. I am at Marg She Wrote.
And I'm at Emily A. Bajan.
And until next time, goodbye.
Bye.